Welcome to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, now streaming at KMUN.org. The time is 9:30 on Tuesday, February 24th, and my name is Ellis Conklin. And now to the Conklin Files, a veritable buffet of news, both local and regional, and perhaps a few stories that defy categorization. It's my pleasure to have here in the studio on this rainy, soon-to-be-rainy morning, respected chairs of the Clatsop County Democrat and Republican parties. So welcome to Jeff Denny and Lisa Lampkin and her surrogate, Glenn
Gaither.
Gaither, that's right. You know, in 1965, just 61 years ago, a mere echo in the thunder of time, a relatively unknown math professor named Tom Lear wrote a song from a short-lived TV program called That Was the Year That Was. And one lyric always struck with me, from Tom Lear's song, National Brotherhood Week. It goes, the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Muslims hate the Muslims, and the Muslims hate the Hindus, and everyone hates the Jews. It really shows the poisonous bipartisan atmosphere in this nation that we live in then and now, and shows how no sign of relenting anytime soon. So my question about Jeff Denny of the Clatsop Democrats and Lisa Lampkin, his Republican counterpart, is this. How do we get this way? And what do you think is the best way out? To return to a time when moderate wasn't considered some kind of badge of shame or surrender? Go ahead, Tom, or Jeff.
Well, thanks for letting me be here today. It's a pleasure to be here along with our Republican comrades. And we're both trying to do good work here in bringing, you know, good things back to Clatsop County. It's interesting you mentioned the Tom Lehrer album because I literally had pulled that out of my record stack earlier this week, and was listening to that very song a little bit earlier this week. It's a fascinating time, isn't it? We live in a time where politics and conversation has gotten so polarized. We've taken things to such an extreme. You know, as the Democratic Party chair, it's not going to come as any surprise that I put a lot of that blame on the current politics in Washington by our leadership in Washington, by those who sit in the administration. We've seen from the very beginning of the Trump administration going back to the first administration, the demonization of anybody who doesn't agree with them. We've seen the demonization of people who are struggling to get by, people who are coming to our communities, coming to our country, to find a better way of living, and that kind of politics, that kind of incendiary, attack-driven politics, just doesn't work, and it shouldn't work here, and I'm pleased to see that at least in Clatsop County, we have elected politicians who are willing to address the issues on the ground and here, try to avoid those divisive politics on both sides of the parties to make things happen and to make things better in our own county.
Lisa?
Well, there's a lot to unpack in that. I've been doing this for about 7 years, and you know, things don't just happen because they happen. They happen because they're birthed. And there's been a contentious atmosphere in this country for a long time that pushed people to their limits. We felt like, you know, on the conservative side, that a lot of common sense ideas have just gotten tossed out. And I think that you're seeing what Denny was talking about, in the administration, is that people are just fed up. They're done. They're not going to put up with any more of the kind of things that has been going on. I mean, we don't know what a woman is. We don't know, right from wrong. We shelter the criminal, and we abandon the needy or the victims. I mean, it's just beyond. I don't know any other response that we should have other than being fed up. And, you know, I think that our climate, yes, as Danny said, has gotten to a pretty bad place. I think there's a lot more psychology involved in this. People need to really look at themselves and try to understand what's going on internally, because the level of anger and violence and vitriol that comes out is born out of something. And, you know, I recently had a conversation with someone and I said, you know, we all have our biases. You know, I have a bias, you have a bias. I know what my bias is. I'm a Christian. Everything is filtered through that lens. Mm-hmm. But what's your bias? And, you know, the fact that they hate Trump so much, they cannot see anything else. They can't see the senselessness in some of their policies. You know, if you're on a jury and they're polling you to be on this jury, they're going to ask you your biases. And if they find you too strongly biased, they're going to remove you from that jury because you can't be fair and impartial. So I just think that it's time to look at ourselves individually and start talking about what's going on internally with us, because I don't think it's just the policies. I think it's more of a psychological issue with the people in the states. And but people are fed up and they're done.
In Clatsop County, Jeff Denny's party has had it a lot easier in recent years. In 2024, 54% of the electorate here voted for Kamala Harris. And in 2020, 56% voted for Joe Biden over Trump. Biden did win that election fair and square, right, Glenn?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
And landslide. Lisa? Did he? Did he win that fair and square?
The 2020 election?
Yeah, 2020.
But he lost the 2020 election.
Okay, 2024. The one that, you know, that Trump keeps going on about, that, you know, the election deniers, which is 20...
Are we talking about election integrity now?
No, we're talking about election deniers, election denialism.
2020.
Now, so Joe Biden did win that election, right, would you say, or would you say not?
This should be an easy question.
Yeah, Joe Biden did win the election.
Okay. And Lisa?
On paper, he won it, but I have my suspicions. So I know you can laugh all you want, but we actually partake in knowledge that lends credibility to some questions. And if you just looked at the questions, then we would be satisfied. But the other side just wholesalely rejects those questions and doesn't give them any kind of credence at all. That's part of the problem. If they would just listen and give us at least a due process, then we would maybe agree with them or not agree with them. But as it is, they just toss it.
Glenn?
And some of this, you know, has to do with election integrity because people are concerned about things like mail-in voting and how that's actually insecure. Having worked in law enforcement, I can tell you that once you break the chain of custody, it's invalid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So right now, a big issue is something that's on the hot plate is election integrity, right? And we're pushing for federal elections, voter ID, in-person voting. I don't see a problem with that. When 72% of Democrats want voter registration with ID and voting, 83% of Hispanics want voter ID registration, 76% of Black Americans want voter ID registration. The only people that don't want voter ID and registration to make sure we have super secure elections are the politicians that are sitting in office. They're the ones fighting it. The public in every sector, 70% and higher, wants voter ID for voting.
You know, in Oregon, you know, has not voted for a Republican president since 1984 when Ronald Reagan basically crushed Minnesota Democrat Walter Mondale. And this state has not had a Republican governor since 1982 when Victor Aitea was elected. Do you think really there, in this country now there are blue urban areas and red rural areas and not blue states or red states, and that the suburban vote kind of determines the winner? What do you think, Lisa?
Absolutely. I think that we're outpopulated. And, you know, the whole mindset, and I tend to be more of a mental person when it comes to this. I think that the mindset of a person living in an urban area is completely different than a mindset of a person in a rural area. And you get them grouped together and in mass, you're going to have their policies really dictating everything. And, you know, they tell us on the coast everything that we're going to do and what we get and how we're going to live. And that doesn't seem right to me. And I feel like we don't really have a voice.
There are a couple of issues here. I mean, our entire system of government, our federal system, is set up and predicated on the fact that states vote as states. And populations within the states will determine what goes on within those states. It's undeniable that there are more Democrat-leaning people in Oregon, Washington, California, the West Coast. It's not a matter that there are, that there are more Republicans that are not being represented or more conservatives that are not being represented. The simple fact is that there are more Democratic voters, and I'll predicate that with more Democrat-leaning voters in the state of Oregon, and that's why we have Democratic leaders. That's why we have a Democratic legislature here. It's not a matter of representation. It's a matter that there are people who are voting that way. Now, Clatsop County is an interesting blend. We have, as far as registered voters, only a third of the voters in Clatsop County are Democrats. Mm-hmm. About a quarter of those voters are Republicans, and over 40% of the voters in Clatsop County are non-affiliated voters. And that's a choice they get to make. They make it when they register to vote, whether it's at the DMV or whether it's online. And I think part of the jobs of both of our political parties is to not only address the base of the voters that we directly interact with, but also with those voters who are non-affiliated. So there are those kinds of issues. But let's not make this into a strict, urban versus rural divide. I think there are issues we can talk about in Clatsop County that way. But as a federal system, the majority of the voters get to choose that. Oregon has the safest and most effective voting system out there right now. You get the chance to register. You do show proof, or you have to prove that you have that driver's license, you have that identification when you register to vote. You don't get to register to vote otherwise.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks for the infomercial there, Denny. part of the problem is, and I understand it's clearly the numbers, there are more Democrats, and actually independents outnumber the Democrats in the state of Oregon, so they can go either direction. But the thing is that the way the Democrats wield their power, is that they are subjugating the Republicans' ideas, thoughts, feelings, desires. They don't hear us. They don't listen to us. They don't want to work with us. They want their agenda and their agenda only, and it's just going to be their way or the highway. And you can see the way it's manipulated in Salem, the way our governor manipulates what she's doing right now with the vote on the tax thing. She's moving it to the primary because it's going to make it better for her. The way they play is like warfare. They're really dirty at it, and they're really good at it. And we are tired of that. And you could see with all the signatures that they got on this gas tax, people are fed up and they are not going to take this anymore. So you can say, just because the numbers, whatever. How about being good neighbors and working with the people you live with? How about that?
And I think that's what we do here in Clatsop County and on the coast really well. I think there are elected leaders here on the coast who are working with both sides. Again, I'll go back to the fact that the Democratic Party, the Democratic elected officials, do control the legislature, and they do control the agenda. Just as in Washington, the Republican Party owns the Congress, the presidency, the Supreme Courts. There is that there. I guess the point that I want to make is that we have leaders here locally that are working on both sides of the aisle. They need to do that. It's not a matter of a governor forcing her will on it. What was it that the Republicans did when they had the chance to work for changes in the legislation over the last several years? Their choice at the legislature was to walk away, to not participate, to not have that argument, to not have those conversations. And that's what's lacking in Salem, I think, is that ability there to work across the aisles and to work together.
Well, why don't all of you then tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in politics, and what led you to become basically the top Republican or the top Democrat in Clatsop County? Go ahead.
Well, I've been a Republican. Well, I started out as a Democrat, and I switched over during the Reagan years. Mm-hmm. Life went on. I had kids. I did all that stuff. City councilor, involved in all those things. And And then I took a real interest in politics just before Trump ran, just before he ran. And I got an invitation to go to January 6th to D.C. And I had never really planned to go there, and I couldn't really.
You were there on January 6th.
I was there, yes. And I have thousands of pictures to show you what happened, what I took. I have a newspaper myself that I run online that I went there to actually just do reporting. And I didn't know anything about what was going to go on or anything like that. But anyhow, so I got there. I only went because a gentleman called me, a 95-year-old gentleman, said, I really want to go, but I can't go because I'm my age. I would like to pay for you to go. And I was like, that's cool. Let's do it. So I went by myself. I was at the rally. I walked down to the Capitol. I did all that stuff. Came back, and I didn't realize at the time that it was going to be a huge national story on the level that it was. Got home and just started talking to some people, got involved in the Republican Party, and they asked me if I would step up and do the leadership role, and I said yes, and we had unprecedented growth during that time and did really well. But more importantly is that I just have strong convictions about right and wrong and what's good and bad, you know, and I just feel that a lot of the policies on the left are just contrary to my Christian beliefs, for one, and secondly, that they just, they don't make sense to me.
Who's your political hero?
Well, I'm just going to tell you, Trump right now. Mm-hmm. Trump is it. I mean, I've never
Glenn, who's your political hero? Or heroes?
Well, I would say Trump's my favorite president, but my political hero would be Mark Levin.
Hmm. Jeff, how about you?
For political hero?
Yeah. Or heroes?
I mean, there are going to be plenty of them. But you know, I go back to the words and the teachings of Martin Luther King. I think Barack Obama provided an opportunity to look at this country's where we are and where we're going with a sense of hope. And I think that's what drives me in this endeavor. You know, I've been like our comrades here, I've been a Democrat all my life. I mean, I remember, my parents taking us out, and we leafleted for George McGovern in 1972 when I was 8 or 9 years old. I remember knocking on doors. So from a very early time, we were talking politics in our house. My mother was a classic FDR Democrat. My dad was a progressive minister. When I was growing up, and all through college and all through my adulthood, it's been part of that, and it drew me into a life of service. My wife and I both worked for the national parks for our 36-year careers before retiring here on the Oregon coast. So we've spent, our entire lives talking to people about the values of the country, about the values of our environment, about the important things in our world, and that's what drives me more than anything. You know, I just want to say that, on January 6th, I was sitting on my couch here in Astoria and watching with horror as things unfolded in Washington, to see a president who had lost re-election summon a crowd out there, and then to, encourage and support and not even try to stop, the assault on our congressman and our legislature. So there's a very stark difference right there. Some of us sat there and watched and said, how can this be happening? Others were there. Think about that when you're, when you're looking at which party you want to support.
You know, go ahead.
Context is everything. And weren't there, you didn't have the context. And I heard his speech. I saw people, what they were doing. I was right by the door where Ashley Babbitt got shot. I was listening and watching people. It looked more like a 4th of July parade than anything else. Now, there were sectors, there were people that did bad things, but that was not the sum total of who people were there. And so, you need to be in context, and I can tell you for a fact that 99% of stuff, you were seeing it on TV, you were being fed by the mainstream media, and they showed you what they wanted to show you. I had stuff posted. I got blocked by Facebook within 30 minutes. Mm. For 30 days, and it was identical to what was on Facebook or on the news, but only in context.
Okay, I don't want to get into this, but I just know that I think you'd all agree that it's been tough sledding for President Donald Trump over the past few months, from the economy to the tariffs to the Epstein files. to everything under the sun Trump, to his seemingly unavoidable penchant for inappropriate texts, including the recent one when he posted one about Barack Obama and former Lady Michelle Obama as apes. Are we seeing some buyer's remorse? I mean, as some pundits have gently put it.
None.
Are we seeing any
The economy is growing and getting stronger. You know, it takes time. There's always a lag. When you pass a law or you pass a resolution or whatever it is that you're doing in the government, you're not going to see that result within 60, 90 days. We're talking about 4 years of damage that have been erased economically. That's going to take time. It's like an oil tanker, right? It's not a speedboat. You turn it, but it takes miles and miles and miles to turn the thing around because it's big, cumbersome, and heavy. We're not going to get super fast results, but the boat is turning, and it is turning in a better direction financially for U.S. citizens.
Jeff?
Now, I'm a retired citizen, right, on a fixed income. So as a senior, right, I've been fighting cancer for 8 years, metastatic pancreatic cancer, lymphoma, and prostate cancer now, and I'm still alive, right? And those things aren't supposed to happen. But because we've got a medical system that's not as good as it was when I first had my pancreatic cancer, you can see the effects of policies on our medicine, right? That's the most plain thing that you can see right off the bat. Weeks and months for wait time for cancer patients because we've jammed so many people into a system that was only meant to take care of our own people. So it's not like...
Yeah, I want to ask all of you right now to make your predictions on the midterms of 2026. Go ahead, all of you. Jeff?
Predictions. I mean, it's hard to predict anything in this climate.
Sure.
I think what we've seen over the past several months is that Democrats across the country are people across the country are reacting to what's going on nationally. We like to say that all politics is local, but certainly there's a reflection of what's going on nationally. Okay, stock market's going up, but is the affordability, are people able to afford their groceries? Are they able to afford?
So you're predicting what? A big Democratic?
You will see more of a Democratic wave across the country.
Okay, Glenn?
I think it's going to be tight. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric being pushed out by the media right now that's just a one-sided thing, so they're constantly hammering out that same message, boom, over and over.
Okay,
and over.
Lisa, what's your prediction?
I think it's going to be tight because, you know, there are different things that push different people's buttons and what they care about, and some care about the economy and some care about their, you know, the social programs. And so, you know, I mean, Trump has put in tough love, and it's tough. It's going to be hard. And so I think people are... They're pretty selfish when they vote. It's about them and nothing else.
You know, Jeff,
you call it tough love to arrest children?
Oh, my God.
Would you call it tough love to round up tens of thousands of people to get a few hundred bad guys off the street? I mean, let's talk about what tough love means. And we're seeing that right here in Oregon. We're seeing it in Clatsop County where people are being snatched off. Snatched off the streets, taken away. Without any of the protections that we guarantee in our Constitution to everybody that's here.
You know, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska last week became the first Republican senator to speak out against the SAVE Act, a sweeping bill backed by Trump that would require proof of U.S. citizenship to vote nationwide. What do you make of this?
One, I'd like to respond to
what
you've been saying.
Yeah.
Okay, first off,
all right,
did 20 years in law enforcement. Okay, under the Obama administration...
Yeah.
I was working at WCC, which is a correction facility. Obama put ICE agents in those facilities. We were deporting 200 to 300 guys a month. Norteños, Sereños, Lisaba Truche, MS-13. They're in Clatsop County. Those guys are in Clatsop County pushing the drugs that increased our overdose deaths by 400%. So when you talk about kindness and humanity, I'm worried about a U.S. citizen that's homeless, that's addicted to fentanyl, it's dying at a much higher and faster rate. And why? Because we don't have the law enforcement facilities here and the means to deal with these gangbangers and the cartel, the CNJC cartel, which is in Seaside.
Well, let me ask
are dying because there's absolutely no action on that. And what are we doing? We're protecting them.
Let me ask about immigration for a moment. David Frum of The Atlantic wrote an article in 2022 with the headline saying, "If liberals won't enforce the borders, fascists will." Jeff, to you, immigration remains a big issue, major issue in this country, It's one of the key reasons that Kamala Harris lost in 2024. What do you make of that headline? And all of you, really, what do you make of this headline? If liberals won't enforce the borders, fascists will.
That's a made-up headline.
It's a typical liberal talking point. They're going to name-call and label, and that's
Obama protected the border.
And they're going to incite people with the kind of labels.
Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
I think there are a couple of things I want to get at here. Number one is to look at the motivations of the vast majority of people that are coming across the border. These are people who are living in very difficult situations. Just like my ancestors.
So that justifies law-breaking. Well, but
Just like my ancestors who came over on the Mayflower, and the German and Irish that came over to Kentucky on my mother's side. We all come to this country...
legally.
...looking for... Okay, well, let's talk about legally in 1620, but that's a different story. We're talking about people who are coming here for a better way of life. And that's the vast majority of people who are coming here. Yes, you're going to have bad actors. You're going to have bad... And that's why we have law enforcement. I'm not going to try to defend the open borders policy of Joe Biden, because I think we probably did go too far there. It's a very complicated issue and difficult. But to basically round up and target people based on nothing more than the accent they speak with or the color of their skin... and then pull them in without any sort of due process, without any sort of accusation in front, other than being different than what we perceive as an American. That's wrong. Those are the kinds of things that we want to fight.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up here. I just want to ask one last question, and then we'll just say goodbye. Trump announced he was erasing the scientific findings that climate change endangers human health and the environment, in effect ending the federal government's legal authority to control pollution that is dangerously heating this planet. Your thoughts, all of you, and let's just forget about it then. Okay, go ahead.
We need a government that's founded on science, not on not on conspiracy, not on a minority of things. The science has been clear for 20, 30, 40 years that the climate is changing. It's changing rapidly, and we know why. We have got to consider the future generations, not the profits of today, but what is it that's going to create a healthy world for tomorrow?
Okay, Glenn?
So, yeah, science, XXXY chromosomes, those are absolute scientific facts that have been proven throughout humanity, since human beings were on the planet. That's a solid scientific fact. There are other scientific facts that have also changed recently due to new discoveries, right? We've got James Webb out there, a million miles past the moon's orbit, and we had all these physics ideas and all these laws and everything that are now getting rewritten and changed because of new discoveries. Since I was born, there have been 67 climate disaster predictions. I quit using hairspray in the 70s because I thought the ozone was going to just totally destroy mankind, but it never happened. Science is not absolute. Science continuously evolves when there is new data. We would do much better to focus on building better catalytic converters, more hybrids versus straight electric, and then we absolutely need fossil fuels to power our future.
Last word, Lisa?
Yes, I agree that we should be listening to science and not cherry picking what science we listen to. But also, I believe that we need to consider, who we are on this planet and that we live here, and that we have to be good stewards of the planet as best as possible. But at the same time, not at the expense of the people who live here. And my thoughts are all over the place. I was listening to both guys, so kind of got messed up. But
I want to thank everyone for coming in today, and I want to thank all my listeners for listening to the Conklin Files here at KMUN Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook, and thank you all. Thank you all for coming in, and we'll be back again in later this month. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take that last statement out because I got my thoughts all swirled around. But that was more than three questions, by the way.
Interesting conversations.
Yeah.